Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. So happy you could join us this morning. I have as my guest Trey Malicote from Gulfport, Florida, and I'm going to let Trey describe who he is and what he does to you, because he is a man of many, many talents. This morning, our topic is fear. And so, Trey, explain who you are and what you're all about, and then we'll get started with our discussion.
Sounds great. Lucy, thank you so much for being with me, or for allowing me to be with you today. It's fantastic. So what do? I am a man on a mission to empower people to create lives of joy, peace, and purpose. And I do that by, I do it with workshops and written word and a website called Upsize Your Soul, small videos. I do all sorts of things because I believe that when people know that they're in charge of creating their reality, they can create a much more beautiful, expansive reality. So that's what I do.
That sounds like an amazing journey for most people to go on with you, at least. Our topic this morning was going to be about fear. And fear is something that permeates, I would say, most lives at some point or another, whether it's fear of success or fear of what a doctor is going to tell you diagnosis-wise or fear of relationships. And so we're going to kind of start there. And how do you see fear as an underlying reason for most people's emotional and behavioral difficulties?
Great question. Well, let me lay a bit of a foundation. You know, when I started my career, I went the whole path of pursuing a master's in psychology and really understanding how people function psychologically. And what I realized was that every single person I dealt with, from trauma survivor to 50-year-old depressed person, there was always an undergirding of fear that was driving their behavior, driving their emotions, driving their thoughts. And so I began to dissect that down, and I said, okay, why are we not addressing the core fear? Why are we only addressing the superficial issues? What I think about when you really look at the fears that people have in their lives, oftentimes we say, I have a fear of flying, or a fear of snakes, or a fear of dogs, or a fear of getting my heart broken, or a fear. And so I began to peel that away and say, where does all that fear come from? Where does it come from? And how does it really impede upon our ability to create a life of beauty? So if I may, let me lay a bit of a foundation, because we really seem, people think we're far more complicated than we actually are. We are primal, basic human beings with a brilliant brain that's able to capacitate all sorts of information. But when it comes down to this issue of fear, what I know is that you have five senses, and those five senses are constantly scanning the environment for one purpose. What do you think that is? You know what it is, don't you?
I think safety.
It's to keep you safe and secure in the world.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
And so in our process, we grow up, we have parents that tell us to not cross the street without looking both ways. We have, we learn that the stove is hot. We learn that we're supposed to put our jacket on when it's cold outside. Those are all things we do, rules we use to mitigate fear, mitigate a problem, mitigate a struggle. Now, what happens as people grow up, they have layering experiences. For instance, if you have a relationship with someone and that person breaks your heart, you create a new set of rules that say, I will now be wary of people that communicate this way or treat me this way. And so as someone ages, they develop a backpack full of fears, which are really disguised as the rules we have about how to live in the world.
Right.
And those rules limit our ability to be expansive and open and brilliant. Now, give you an example, okay? When I was in college, prior to college, I grew up in the racial South. And at that time, it was very, racism was alive and certainly prevalent. And so I was taught certain things about people that were different than me. And then I decided to leave Texas and I went as far away as I could to Spokane, Washington. One day I was at a party and I met a guy that happened to be an African American guy. And what I noticed was that I had all sorts of ideas and beliefs and perceptions about him that were punctuating how I was interacting with him. And so I thought about it, where does all that come from? All that was a story that I had learned along the way. What that story did was prevent me from engaging beautifully, connecting powerfully, and honoring deliberately. And so over my lifetime, I've said, okay, what stories do I hold? Why do I hold them? How do those stories keep me safe? And how do those stories limit me? Going back to the example, when I was able to step out of that and say, that's just a story that I've been taught, who is this human in front of me? Who is this divine, beautiful soul? And then could leap into knowing, seeking to understand, honoring in the present moment. That's what I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think all of us do that. And most of the time we do it very unknowingly.
Absolutely.
So it does prevent you from living the life that you're capable of living because you don't have those interactions that you're capable of having.
Exactly. So. Well, you know, where it's even more insidious is that we create rules about how we're supposed to behave, what's right in the world, what, you know, how we're supposed to perform if we want acceptance, for instance, or please to be acknowledged, or, you know, all these core stories that keep us safe in the world. But what those core stories really do is keep us in what I call a fixed reality. It's a reality that says, if I do all these things, I will be safe, secure, happy, and loved. If something deviates from one of my rules, let's say you encounter somebody that pushes every button and you become fearful and then you make decisions and you might it might affect the way that you can connect with that person or communicate with that person. Or another example is, how many times do people have hopes and dreams and goals and ideas about what they want to do with their lives, yet they stop themselves?
Right.
This morning, when we were having coffee, we were chatting, and as Lucy and I were chatting, what we were talking about is the difference between speaking and writing. Mm-hmm. And then you drilled it down with me, and you said, "What's preventing you from stepping fully into your writing?" And what I came to understand was that I have a belief, I have a story that says that that is going to be less successful or more difficult. Those are the insidious fears that I'm talking about.
Right.
So these fears limit our ability with other people. They get into our brains. They limit our ability to take risks, to live fully, to live abundantly, to live in gratitude, and they create a fixed reality. But here's the myth of all of that. We create our joy in the present moment.
Right, right.
And it's through our ability to perceive the world around us, interpret it, feel safe in the world, and react to the world in strength.
I have a kind of a new mantra that I discovered a few weeks ago on a card, and I think it's perfect for what we're talking about, and that is learning that whole concept of the moment of now.
The moment of now.
Yeah, and just focusing on, where are you right this minute and enjoying or experiencing that particular moment all the time? Because you can't be any other place than right here, right now.
Right here, right now, in this 3-foot square. Mm-hmm. I call that the mindful moment. It's the same thing.
Mindfulness.
Yeah,
yes.
Mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle and a bunch of people talk about it.
Right.
But what I think about that whole concept is that If you can't get your head around the fear, which is really tied to all the rules, if you want to understand the fear in your life, look at your rules.
Right.
How are people supposed to act? What conditions do you have for the world? What expectations do you have for others? What judgments do you fall into? Those are all indications of your rules that are keeping you safe in the world.
Right.
Right?
And when you let go of those, you know, then you can actually begin to experience life as it's meant to be experienced.
Absolutely, right here in the mindful moment.
Right.
You know, I'll give you an example I was writing about the other night. It's this idea about money. Mm-hmm. Money is a brilliant thing to think about because it shows you a person's fear, right? And for so many years, I had a $1,000 threshold in my bank account. If my bank account in any way dropped below $1,000, I went into a state of panic. Now, that would mean, I would spin myself up into a frothy frenzy about what I needed to do and how I wasn't going to be able to live and how I wouldn't have food. And I mean, just this spiraling downward turn just because of a number on a website mm-hmm. saying you don't have $1,000 today.
Right.
So I deliberately walked myself through a process where I allowed myself to liberate that story. And the other day I was sitting and I had $22 in my bank account, which was brilliant. Scared the I won't even tell you what it really was doing to me. But what it did was force me to say, why is that security blanket so important?
Right.
And where that drives even further is that if you want to step out of fear, you have to step fully into faith. Mm-hmm. And faith resides in the mindful moment.
Right. You've heard the expression, false evidence appearing real.
Absolutely.
And I used to use that when I was speaking a lot because people don't understand as an acronym that that's what that is. Fear is nothing more than a belief that we're holding.
Mm-hmm.
And once you look at the belief fully and you recognize that that's all it is.
That's right.
Then you can let it go.
That's right.
You know, our mutual friend, Jim, did an exercise, I believe it was in Spain. And he was saying that he was helping people find new employment. Mm-hmm. And so he had them divide a piece of paper in half so that all of the things they didn't want, mm-hmm. you know, was on one side and all the things they did want on the other side. And then they had to burn the side that they didn't want.
They didn't want.
And let it totally go.
Yeah.
Because again, that was the fear that was holding them back. I'm going to mm-hmm. end up with all these things that I don't want.
That's right.
And so fear for them was preventing them from finding the very employment they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And once they released it, they both found exactly the jobs they wanted.
That's exactly right. Well, that goes back to that concept, and I firmly believe this. It's ferreted out in quantum physics. It's in the, if you explore the metaphysical mm-hmm. theories of the world, this concept that what you think about,
you
bring about.
Yes.
Right? And if you look at your own life and you say, what am I thinking about? What's on my mind most of the time? If a person were to sit and ask themselves that one question or do a survey throughout the day, what am I thinking most about? What they're mostly worried about are financial stability, relational stability, mm-hmm. Their physical health,
mm-hmm.
their technology that they have to interact with, heightened awareness of government and all. I didn't want to get into that on that highway. We worry about crime. We worry about man-made disasters. There's an overlay of fear that people are operating within, and that keeps us out of the present moment. Here's the powerful thing. If you believe the concept of what you think about, you bring about, mm-hmm. you actually create dis-ease
right.
in your life. And I believe that you can extrapolate that out to physical health, emotional, spiritual, intellectual health. How many times, you know, in my career, when I worked in the world of hospice, it was out of 10,000 plus deaths that I observed over my career. What I noticed was that some people would approach the final days of their life and simply live them out with beauty and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Other people fought with a vengeance. And those people that fought with a vengeance were fighting a fear.
A fear. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I noticed is that at the point of diagnosis, often people would begin to fully endorse and believe the story. So for instance, Mr. Smith, you have stomach cancer. Well, the moment that he heard that diagnosis, he lived into that diagnosis
mm-hmm.
and started to believe it. I'm not bad-mouthing the medical establishment. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we have much greater power in our minds. When you think about it, you bring it about.
There was this has happened a long time ago, and I'm assuming that the center is still there. But in Tiburon, California,
mm-hmm.
There was a center for healing for children.
Right.
And did you ever hear about it?
I have, but tell me more. I don't know that
much. Okay, well, what happened was all of these children that had received diagnosis of cancer, terminal illnesses mostly,
right,
that there was no hope that mm-hmm. they were going to survive. The doctors could refer them to the center that was in Tiburon.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it was a little bit like Patch Adams.
Oh, wow.
So what happened to the kids is they were taught mental activities to kill whatever the disease they had.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would see, you know, the white cells coming in on horses with, you know, they were knights and they were destroying all of the cancer cells or whatever
right.
illness they had. And they had a 96% cure rate.
Is that right?
Yes. And if you kept them in traditional disease-centered type practices, you know, where we're going to give you this medicine and we're going to hope for the best.
Right.
But if they were in that kind of treatment center, most of them died. And that's why the doctors were able to say, we have nothing else we can offer, but we're going to send you and your children or child out to Tiburon.
Yeah.
And 96%.
Isn't that remarkable?
So, I mean, the mind has the ability to harness its own healing abilities.
Well, and I have a theory about that. I think people, if they actually understood the power of their minds, because when you understand the power of your mind, it completely forces you to live responsibly in the world.
Exactly.
Responsible with your thoughts, responsible with your actions, right. with your interaction with others, responsible with your emotions.
Right.
And when you stand in that place, responsibility lies in the mindful moment.
It does.
It is irresponsible to harbor the past.
Right. Well, you can't do anything.
You
about
can't
the
do
past,
anything about it.
And you can't live in the future.
No. So. And all if you're in the future, all you're doing is breeding worry about a pipe dream, about an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have it right here in our hands. Mm-hmm. So let's live right here in this moment.
Right. Right. Right? And there are so few physicians that are trained in that because we're basically trained with a disease model.
That's right.
And so I know that when my husband was so ill before he died, getting them to hear what I was saying in terms of how, you know, Jack should handle his final days.
Right.
You know, they finally heard me, but it was like pounding on a wall.
Yeah. Well, it's so counter to the idea, because going back to this idea of responsibility, if you know that you can orchestrate your life of joy, there is a lot of responsibility to that. And we happen to live in a world where most people feel, and I don't know, this maybe sounds, it's an overarching, sweeping belief, but people are, it's easier to throw blame at someone.
Absolutely.
It's easier to be angry at someone than it is to say, why is this response or this interaction or this experience triggering me? That's where responsibility lies. And if you want to live in the mindful moment, you have to accept full responsibility for who you are. And frankly, I would push people so far as to say, if you're harboring your past and thinking about it, go ahead and keep wasting time. All you're doing is harvesting fear. Harvesting fear. I don't want to do that.
You know, you and I were talking about Dr. Emoto's test and stuff that he had done with crystals, you know, water crystals. But last night we were talking about the fact that if, you know, 60 to 70% of our body is water, and we're sending all of these negative thoughts into what is basically a water vehicle.
That's right.
Us, what kind of damage are we doing to ourselves?
That's right.
I mean, it's tremendous. And again, the responsibility goes back to us to make changes in our thought patterns if
exactly.
we want our lives to be different.
You know, I, as a therapist, and I know you as well, how many clients did we see that we wanted to look at them, shake them, and say, wake up, just take responsibility. You don't have to be this depressed person. You don't have to. And bearing neurochemical processes.
Right, right.
But what's interesting is our thoughts create the neurochemical processes
they
in
do.
Our minds.
They do.
Right?
And if you, last week I was talking about MRIs and the fact that if a doctor is talking to you and he's observing a brain MRI, it's firing in different centers depending upon whether it's fear-based or whether it's active problem-solving. Because it just fires differently. So we know, I mean, those of us that are studying in this field, we know that we create the chemicals that then affect the chakras in the body,
Absolutely.
That then affect the health of the organs in those chakras. So again, it goes back to, you know, if you let fear control your life, what are you doing to the health of your body?
You're killing yourself.
Yeah.
One fear at a time.
One fear at a time.
So let me, if I may, because I know that we've been yapping and it's the time is running so quickly here today. You know, I would love to leave your audience with some really strong tips. And what I'd like to explore is this idea, what do we need to do to step fully out of fear? Step fully out of fear. And this is about this idea of living fully in the mindful moment, which is where your peace resides. The mindful moment is where joy resides, good relationships, good connections, and that sense of self-awareness and confidence that gives you the strength to move forward.
Right.
Right? So first and foremost, if somebody said, how do I step fully out of fear? The first thing I would tell them is to accept full responsibility for you. You create your reality. Nobody makes you angry. Nobody causes you pain. It's all in how you're perceiving and interpreting and reacting.
Right.
So full responsibility. I think that no other person, no other situation, no other experience can be blamed for your reality. You're in charge of it. Now, if you want to be a miserable schmuck and just swim in your unhappiness, you have that right. Go ahead and do that. But I don't know if I want to do that. How about you?
I certainly don't.
Right? What about this idea? And I love this. How many times have I had somebody say, I'll say, you know, liberate yourself from the past. You've said the same thing. And mm-hmm. people will hold on to their past with a vengeance.
Well, it's who they believe they are. So if they let go of their past, they let go of who they think they are.
So you're exactly right. And in the mindful moment, stepping out of fear, you create real time.
Right.
Who am I today?
Today. And that's scary for so many people. It's like, I don't know who I am.
That's exactly right. Well, it reminds me of that Marianne Williamson quote about our power mm-hmm. is not, it's our power is how, or our fear is how powerful we really
are. We really are. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I want to invite people to really step out of your past. Leave it. It doesn't do you any good. Just get rid of it. And the future is an illusion. Now, don't get me wrong. We should have goals and expectations or a plan of some sort about how we want to live.
Right.
But when we get bogged down into the minutia of that, we're wasting time.
Right.
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 I would encourage people to, and this is a big one, celebrate the fact that you are not broken, flawed, separated, or isolated from your divine essence. And I think when we're together, is it January the 3rd we're going to do another show?
Yeah, we're going to do another show then.
I think we ought to talk about what it means to experience divinity in your life and what that really means. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's amazing because, I mean, that is the one focus that I keep having is that, you know, if you're moving flawlessly through your chakras,
mm-hmm.
you are headed back to uniting with divinity.
Absolutely.
You know, at the 12th chakra, that's where you are. So if you can get all of this in flow, then it works beautifully because you're healthy. You know, you're achieving the things you want in life. You have the relationships you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're at peace. So yeah, I think January 3rd.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Here's the thing I want people to really consider, and that is living in the mindful moment with what I call unattached wonder. Hmm. We are part of this expansive creation that's absolutely spectacular. And if you look at all aspects of your life, of other people, of creation and nature, and you celebrate it with wonder, mm-hmm. crawl in the dirt. Look at the pistils on a flower.
Hug a tree.
Right. Hug it. I mean, I know that's, and I came from Oregon. Believe me, that means something different. But this idea that we have the ability to orchestrate it.
Uh-huh.
We create it.
We do.
That's the beauty. To step fully out of fear, I think that there is two things that we must fully understand. Number one, we only control our perceptions.
Right.
And we only control our reactions. Those are the only two things we control. We don't control other people. We don't control situations. However, it's interesting. How many people have we seen that try to control all sorts of stuff?
I know a micromanager very well.
Yeah. And there's a correlation. The more you need to control the world, the more you're operating out of fear.
Well, and in this particular case, the damage that's being done to this person physically is immense.
It's huge.
It's immense. Because if you're micromanaging everything, the tension that you put yourself under, it goes back to cortisol.
Absolutely.
And the fight or flight syndrome. Uh-huh. And he is firing on all cylinders in that fight or flight constantly. So his body is totally being worn out.
Just in upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? The neurochemical processes that that occur when fight or flight is initiated
mm-hmm.
take an average of 24 hours to clear from the body.
And it never clears.
Mm-hmm. So we as a community, as a society now, are living in a constant state of low-grade fight or flight.
Right.
And so we've got to learn how to ground ourselves,
right.
how to center, how to be fully present, how to stand out of our past, and how to appreciate this 3-foot by 3-foot square called the mindful moment.
Right.
Right.
Right. And it's not easy, but it is achievable.
It is, yeah. So I've got a question for you. How do you do it?
I I don't know. I've often wondered in some ways. For 3.5 years when I was taking care of my husband, I did not ever feel stressed. And I think in some ways that I have, I'm going to say guardian angels. Some people call them guides, but I've always had several with me. And I think their presence gives me a sense of calm and peace that I just carry with me all the time. If I find myself a little stressed, what I used to do, I had a long back porch, and I love to sweep the porch with a broom. And it was something in that almost like a metronome motion that would clear me, because it was a literally a motion and a feel
It's a
that
rhythmic
it's
thing.
a rhythmic thing. So it allowed me to just kind of, oh, okay. And now I don't have, that ability. I don't have a long porch anymore. I used to garden a lot. That helped. But I think now one of the things is just breathing, just taking a deep breath and making sure that it's a belly breath, not a
That's right.
thoracic breathing.
Yeah. There's a breathing technique called the 747. You take a big deep breath in, you hold it for 7 seconds, you exhale it for 4 seconds. Breathe in for seven. If a person will ground themselves in the moment and just simply practice that breathing exercise, seven in, four out, seven in,
Four
four
out.
out. So I know we're near the end of our discussion, but I wanted to just kind of wrap up. First of all, thank you so much for letting me be with you today.
Oh, it's
And
been a lot of fun.
your partnership, your friendship is such, it's a blessing to me. The other day I wrote something. Somebody said, Trey, what is this mindful moment that you speak of? And so I want to just read this. Freedom from fear begins in the mindful moment. It's that place where peace resides. To step fully out of fear once and for all, we must focus on the simplicity of life and stand in profound gratitude for all creation. Celebrate nature, art, music, conversation, and the joy of connecting with others in a state of unconditional love. Do not fret about the past because it's gone. Do not worry about the future. It will unfold perfectly. Simply lean in and trust that you are infinitely powerful and perfect, and all the beauty of life will reveal itself when you stand in the mindful moment.
One of the things that I've noticed over the past few months is when you are in that space, literally nature in particular reveals the most amazing beauty that you could possibly
That's right.
see. And the sunsets that I've seen in the last couple of months have just been phenomenal. We were on a golf course not too long ago, and there were deer that were just beautiful, and they did not run. They just stood there and watched. And so I feel like when you get to that moment where you truly are in the present, then the world is sort of opened up to you,
That's
and
exactly
you get
right.
these little glimpses of life as it can be.
That's exactly right. It's an energy thing.
It is.
So I know that you've got to wrap things up, but I want to invite people to check, if I may, do a shout out on the website, upsizeyoursoul.com. And I'm upsizeyoursoul on Instagram. And if you're interested in an interesting example of what you're talking about, Lucy, about interacting with nature, you can see Jasper, my pet squirrel, who just sat on my foot and has become hard fast friends with me.
Yes,
So
Jasper is an
he
amazing
is
little
a beautiful
creature,
little
and
creature.
he's teaching you all kinds of
All
things.
sorts of stuff.
Just, I think trust. I mean,
Absolutely.
with animals, especially if they're wild animals, when they develop that bond with you, they're kind of also saying, yeah, that's something that you need to do too, is
That's exactly
trust.
right.
Yeah,
So
trust. So, we are just moments away from closing the show. I thank you, Trey, for being here with me. This has been a tremendous show, I think, today.
thank
It's
you
been a
so
lot of
much,
fun.
Lucy.
You can find Trey on synergyconnectionradio.com under the services. If you go to Upsize Your Soul, you can connect with him there as well. And please refer anybody to the service section if they're looking for ways to feel better about themselves on a physical level or an emotional level. There's many different people that are now going to be part of that service site. Next week, I have Dr. Paula Nelson coming back, and she's going to be talking to us about reasons people may relapse or have addiction problems during the holidays. It is a more stressful time for anybody who is suffering from any type of addiction. So have a terrific week, and make sure that you are living your best life. Thank you so much.